Hello, everyone. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, back with another episode of the Steven Universe podcast. Thank you so much for joining me, and thanks to everyone who's been leaving us reviews and five-star ratings at Apple Podcasts. Shout out to Kingdom 9, Jimmy the Dunn, Cutie Pocket, Clastra 56, Shallow Coin, and Jennifer Lolliott. Sorry if I got your name wrong, but thank you so much for taking the time to review us and rate us. We love it so much. So I'm coming at you from the writer's room of Steven Universe at Cartoon Network Studios in Burbank, California, and I'm excited to say that today we've got the gems. We're talking to Shelby Rabara, the voice of Peridot, and Jennifer Paz, who voices Lapis. And I've also got Dee Dee Magno-Hall, who voices Pearl, and Michaela Dietz, the voice of Amethyst. And Rebecca Sugar, the creator of Steven Universe, is back on the show today, and we're going to talk about the origins of the gems and what it took to find the perfect cast to voice them. So let's get started. I am sitting here with Dee Dee Magno-Hall and Michaela Dietz. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us, Mackenzie.
Ditto.
So how are you guys?
Well, I was a bit startled when I came in because my friend Michaela just scared the bejeebies out of me.
I got you with a boo.
She did. But it's all good.
I was trying to get into character.
Very method. I like it. I like that. We go right from the start, you know?
Yeah. Feel it.
Okay, cool. So let's jump right into it. So I wanted to ask you guys, what was your background before you began working on Steven Universe? Like, did you guys do voice acting beforehand, or was this your first?
Oh, that, you meant background. I was like, well, I was still Korean American, I was doing voiceovers, but I had not done an animated show before.
So it was your first like cartoon?
It was my first series, yeah. And so it was very exciting to book this.
Cool. Yeah.
I also have done just a little bit of voiceover work, a teeny tiny bit of voiceover work, and it was many years ago. I think I played one of the princesses in The Princess and the Pea, like an HBO series.
What?
Like a long time ago that I can't even remember.
Was it live action?
No, it was a little animated series, a little animated film, I think, or I'm not sure actually. See how long ago it was so far.
You guys, she's making this up.
So, I'm not making it up, but you know what? I could be because I never saw it.
I have
no idea
it's
what
it's lost footage.
Yeah, it's something that I'd like to dig up at some point. But yeah, that was my only introduction to voiceover work prior to Steven Universe.
So this was
a pretty big deal,
right,
for me. I had been doing, you know, musical theater, a little bit of film, a little bit of TV back in the day. So this is such a neat experience to like jump into voiceover work, and wow, what a great series to be part of,
right,
to be your first kind of big,
seriously,
kick
cartoon.
It off. Yeah,
yeah,
so. I love that. So like, was there like a learning curve for you since you had that only that Princess and the Pea experience
that
beforehand?
I don't even remember?
In quotes.
I think it's what's so awesome about it is that we don't have to memorize our lines. They're like,
yes,
right in front of us. But it's still, you're still acting, and you're still, mm-hmm, even when you're doing effort sounds, we're very physical in the booth.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
So sometimes I kind of wish that there was a video camera capturing all of the crazy things that are happening in the booth.
Yeah, we need like a panda cam, but for for like voice recordings.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah,
I love that.
Like, I feel like Dee Dee has this style where she has these very involved takes, and then she'll like turn and look into the booth behind the glass where Rebecca and Ken Osborne are, and she'll give them this look like, oh my gosh, did I mess up? What happened? But every time, I mean, obviously she aces it every time.
No,
but
of course.
It's just so funny. You have this sort of like panic-stricken look on your face.
I know. Because I know that they have, like, Rebecca has a vision, and she has like a, you know, she knows that she wants to hear. And so like, I constantly always want to make sure that I'm doing,
right,
you know, what they want.
Yeah,
do the thing that they want,
yeah,
you know, that
right,
they kind of hear in their minds.
But so, they don't want to be like, say it like this exactly. Or cause
yeah,
then it's not,
they don't give line reading.
Right.
Unless we ask for it.
Sometimes I ask for it.
Because you want to know. But otherwise it's like, it kind of takes away the purpose, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, they're, you know, that's what really great directors do. They try to get what they want from you by sort of giving you the direction, and then hopefully it'll come out. And right. when it doesn't, then we say, could you just please give me an example of what you want to hear? Because I want to do what you want.
Yeah. And then you hear Rebecca's Pearl voice. I want to hear what that is like.
Does she have voices? I feel like she doesn't really do, like, Kent, our voice director, Kent. He does voices.
He does
everybody's voice.
It's gotcha. So funny.
But I've never heard his Amethyst. I feel like he only does it when we're not there. Have you heard his Pearl? It's so funny.
I can't remember if
he goes
there.
Like, Errol Mulfler. Like, he's very like, it's sort of like if a donkey were to merge with like the idea of a Pearl. You know what I mean? And
the idea
is Pearl.
I love that if Didi's on tour, we need to have someone to sub in. Like, Kent's just like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Nobody can tell the difference.
Exactly.
I love that.
Spot on.
So when you guys jumped into the show, right? What kind of idea did you have of your character? Like, what was your understanding of the character, and how did it, like, because it changed a lot, obviously, the characters changed, but how did your idea of the character change, especially like initially?
Well, I remember looking at the description of the character and then the beginning, knowing that she was sort of maternal towards Steven Universe, the title character. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I got two kids.
Steven Universe, the title character.
I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Just in case you listeners don't know, we're doing a show.
FYI, spoiler alert. His name is, first name's Steven, last name Universe.
You know, it's so funny, though, because a lot of people that don't know the show, they call it Steven's Universe.
Yeah, apostrophe S.
Yeah, because they don't know that Universe is his last name. Anyway, I forget what I was saying.
Oh, about the maternal characteristics.
Oh, right. See, I'm mommy brain. I've got two kids, so like, you know, I was like, oh, cool. She's sort of maternal to Steven, and I could do that.
I can relate. Yeah. I love that.
I thought at first Amethyst was just like comedic relief. I mean, not really relief. It's not like you need it that much. Like in the beginning, I don't know. But like the initial way I was doing my lines, I remember in the very beginning, Rebecca and Ian kept saying, maybe a little more chill, like chill it out a little more. I think I came in with my usual energy, like, but
right.
They were like, no, tone it down. So I kind of slowed everything down. And then, you know, certainly my idea has changed of Amethyst as the series has gone through, because she's developed so much. She's sort of experienced so many different layers of emotion and growth. And so, I mean, I've gotten to be quite proud
right.
of her.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That one episode on the run, the one in season one where we find out about Amethyst's whole background.
Right.
Then it's like, suddenly Amethyst is this totally different character. And you're like, what? You know?
Yeah.
I feel like they get you like that. They're like, oh, it's just, you know, it's just a very pure and good show, you know, like, and then everyone's having a good time. You love, then you get invested.
Right.
And then they
drop
like,
the feel bomb.
Psych, you know, like, time for suffering, you know, like,
emotion.
I didn't know. Yeah, I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready.
That was one of my favorite scenes, I think, to do with you, Dee Dee.
Oh, the one
when
where
we voiced that, it was so real.
It was real.
Wait, and now I'm like, weren't we in the booth together? I do remember.
I think we were.
I remember being moved by it.
Oh, I remember being moved by when I was watching it. Because oftentimes we'll record and then I'll forget.
You forget
and like
what happened.
Weeks and months go by. And then I actually watch the show with my kids. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such an emotional show. And I forget, you know, which is what I love about the show, that it's musical and it's deep and it can get very emotional, but then there's also some really light and funny stuff that happens in the show. So I just, and it's just beautiful to look at too.
Right,
you know, the art is just gorgeous.
They do it all. They got it all.
Great, big, wonderful package.
Yeah,
totally. When we do the voices in the booth, that's just one element, which I think I forget. get sometimes. And then when we actually watch the eps, you see all the visuals, all the non, you know, the parts where the characters are emoting, like, without using dialogue. And it adds so much context. Mm-hmm. And there are so many funny moments that happen that we obviously don't voice. They just, you know, it's like people in the background or rolling their eyes or doing, you know.
Yeah. The background artwork, the music element, like everything, when it all comes together, it's just, it's mind-blowing.
It's pretty cool. Like, I love seeing, because, like, the voice acting, like you said, it's like one of the, just one part of it. But, like, yeah, it's cool because it's such an early part of it, I think, you know, like, that's one of the first things that they do after the, well, obviously they do the writing and the storyboarding and all that stuff, but, like, the voice acting comes in really early, so, like, you guys see that, and then you see the finished product. It's like, whoa, you know, like, what happened in between here and here? Yeah. That made it into this huge thing. That's, it's really cool.
Yeah, and then oftentimes I think some of the drawings change because of the voice acting.
They got to amp it up. They
got to change it up a little bit, or we come back and retake some takes so that we could fit the emotion mm-hmm. of the drawing. So that's pretty cool too, just to know that there's so many different ways that they could play with.
Right. So, like, I was wondering, since you guys are sort of members of the cast that started out, how, like, original cast, you know, what was it like, you know, coming in and sort of having to establish the characters? You talked about, you know, your perceptions of the characters when you started, but, like, what was it like coming in and being, like, taking on the role and sort of figuring it out? And also, like, what did you ever get surprised based on the way that your character changed throughout?
Being that this is my first real big cartoon to be part of, I remember early on my voice was actually pretty calm. Like Michaela was saying, that she had to sort of tone hers down a little bit. But my voice started out really calm, and then all of a sudden she's become this, like, over-exaggerated sometimes.
Right.
Like, this character's huge, and she does, like, these really crazy...
Was the straight character, like, the...
yeah.
And then Amethyst was the funny guy, and now they're both just, like...
And we sort of just, like, swap every once mm-hmm. in a while. But yeah, that's sort of my experience with my voice, as far as my voice goes. I had no idea what the show was going to really be about when I first joined. I was simply reading the lines and, you know, hoping to sort of, you know, do justice to, you know, this part into the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I am pleasantly surprised at how deeply emotional that this show is, and how just beautiful it is to just watch and also listen to the music. We love the music in my household. We play the songs all the time, and my kids have memorized all the songs on the soundtrack.
Aww.
And like teaching my oldest is teaching himself how to play it on the ukulele.
Aww.
But yeah, so like we're huge fans of the show.
You're nerds for the show. I totally am.
You pack me in your trunk for your next family road trip?
Sure.
It's a musical
same.
Experience.
I need to come along too. Like,
we'll both go, Mackenzie.
Okay,
we'll do
sounds
it.
Good.
I'll pack the snackers.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Pack snacks.
So I would say that, you know, we're all kind of figuring it out. I think you can see it in the artwork too. The characters, certainly their looks have evolved.
Right.
And obviously, you know, as Dee Dee talked about, like, well, our voices have sort of changed. But I would say the personalities certainly have grown. And I think As we of actors, and we as, you know, parts of this Steven Universe family have grown too. So I think, you know, once Dee Dee sort of showed her comedic side in the booth, which was, she's hilarious as a person. And that sort of, I think, then reflected itself in the character of Pearl. I think more of Michaela's, you know, sardonic side certainly has shown itself into Amethyst. I think, you know, little things like, I'm trying to think of, you know, what the show takes from our lives and what we take from the show's presentation. But, like, I was joking about my mom saying boodles.
I remember that. I remember hearing you say that. And then it's in the episode.
They made Pearl say boodles.
I know.
over. It's so good.
Art imitating life, or vice versa.
Right.
But yeah, also the fact that we're all getting closer too, and you know, we're becoming such close friends, and then when we get into the booth together, it's really just such a fun party.
Yeah. What kind of stuff goes on like in the booth that the fans don't see, like as part of the process? You guys talked about like waving your hands around or whatever. Like, what kind of...
Zach used to, he doesn't do it as much anymore, but he used to like stand in front of the mic and almost like put his arms out like he was flapping, like a very stiff duck.
I think his hands, are pointing up. His palms are pointing up. Yeah, but
it
this
was,
is what... This
it was almost like he was trying to raise the roof, but he had like... very restricted movement in his shoulders or something.
It was helpful to his process.
Yeah.
It was helpful to his process. I feel like, I can't not do facial expressions.
You're so funny when you record.
My face just has a mind of its own.
It's so funny.
But yeah, Kent is always cracking up at me behind the booth. So that's why I'm always looking to see, I'm trying to get their approval.
Right.
I'm like, what? Is that good? You know, but yeah, there's like, we're drinking lots of fluids. We're drinking tea and water. And, you know, I have this issue with my lips smack or my mouth smacks or something.
Dryness.
It's dry. It's like, but I...
Mouth noise.
Those green apples, right? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah, green apples are supposed to be the trick. Pineapple, something like that. Apple juice. But nothing works for me.
Just chomp on a Mac. Yeah, you just get an iPad in there.
I need to figure out what everybody else is doing because I don't know what it is. My mouth is very dry.
Hey. You are enough, Dee Dee. Don't worry about it. You're great.
What about music when it comes to the booth? Or like...
All.
Yes? Is that a...
I get so nervous. I'm not like a singer.
You're not?
I'm like
a
talk singer.
Totally a singer.
No, I'm a beats person. I like the beats. But my favorite thing about music and recording is when, you know, we do it as a group. And so I get to sit and listen to a live performance of Dee Dee Magno. Or like Estelle.
When Estelle
sings, I'm just like... Soak in your greatness right now, please.
Yes, I love that. It's fun to hear when you guys sing along with the fans too at like conventions and things like that, and like there's everyone's singing and it's just like, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, the music has got to be one of my favorite parts of this show. And I love listening to Rebecca's versions of the songs before, that's how we learn the songs. Rebecca's singing along her demos. That's my favorite part, too.
Oh, it's like, so good.
She should release an album just her singing
all of
her songs.
She's released some of them, and they're really fun. I love listening to them.
I have a playlist.
Oh, yeah?
From all the demos, like, on my...
You do?
Yeah, because her voice is so good. Why would I not want to listen to that?
I know. I love it.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for coming in and talking to me today, guys.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Anytime, Michaela. Michaela, I mean,
oh,
Mackenzie.
My gosh, here I am next to you. Her name is Mackenzie.
I got confused.
Do you want to trade for a day, Mackenzie? I'll intern. I'll be like intern extraordinaire, and you can be Amethyst.
I'm down.
We'll do it. No one will notice.
Sounds good to me. Okay, cool. Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
So awesome and so much fun with Dee Dee and Michaela. And coming up, Rebecca Sugar returns to the podcast. We're going to find out what it took to find the perfect voices for the Gems and for Steven. We're also going to talk to Rebecca about how the cast shapes the characters as the show continues to grow.
Oh, man. Love that Steven Universe. Hey, my name is Casey Jost.
And I'm James McCarthy.
And we do the official Impractical Jokers podcast. If you're a fan of Impractical Jokers, then get a deep dive into the episodes with the official Impractical Jokers podcast.
It's out of this world.
Like Steven Universe. Nice. High five.
Okay, guys, I am here with Rebecca Sugar again. Thank you so much for coming back and talking to me again, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm good.
Nice, good to hear it. So let's just jump right into it. I have some questions about voice acting and casting and that kind of thing. One thing I think a lot of people are wondering is like, what's your role when it comes to directing the actors when they get into the booth? Like, what's the job of a director?
I'm very involved.
in the directing process and in the casting process. I have a voice director, Kent, who was, we worked together on Adventure Time.
He's really cool. Yeah, I met him in there.
Yeah, and he, so he's my voice director, although often if he's not available, I'll do it with Ben, or Joe or Kat, but I'll always be there right next to him going, we'll go through the board together. So as in the booth, as the actors read the lines, beforehand, I can pitch the scene with all the drawings. All the drawings are already drawn.
Gotcha.
So the way that they're feeling is it's written on their faces, and I'll say, oh, this is what you're going through. This is what you look like while you're saying this.
Right.
And try and sort of pitch through the scene so that the kind of momentum of the scene is clear. And ideally, everyone is together, which happens often. Maybe not everyone, but a lot of times we'll have, you know, Dee Dee, Michaela, and Zach all together in the booth.
The main squad.
Yeah, interacting with each other. And even Estelle, though Estelle's often touring, there have been a bunch of times where all of the main characters are together. I remember when we recorded Hit the Diamond, everyone was together. And it was the first time that Erica and Charlene, who play Sapphire and Ruby, respectively, that was the first time that they were with all the main characters at the same time. So it was really exciting because they were all meeting each other. It's like, oh, Ruby, Sapphire, nice to meet you. So everyone got
a jailbreak moment. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone got to be together hanging out. Oh, and Charlene was playing six characters, which was just amazing. It was like she was playing six characters and then also everyone was there to witness it,
so
which
it was
really fun. Yeah.
Would you, when they have to come up with those separate, like all the different voices for different, like, you know, like for all the Rubies that we've seen, when somebody has to, or when Dee Dee has to voice the different Pearls, like, how do you coach them to make a new voice for a character while keeping it the same as?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we have theories in advance for how they should sound. Mm-hmm. The first time we were doing the scene with Yellow Pearl, we talked about her being a lot more like a secretary.
Yeah.
Sort of an old cartoony secretary with the headsets.
Yes.
Very, very classic. And there's like a 50s. Yeah, there's a retro quality to a lot of sort of what's going on Homeworld.
Right.
And
Which is funny.
We found that voice. Yeah, we figured, you know, like a little more nasally for her. And then Blue Pearl, very different, much mousier.
Right.
So we would say, oh, she's really quiet. She's sort of a lot more fragile.
Mm-hmm.
And we sort of found something that was a little Ellen Green related, the sort of small, like a little Ellen Green, a little Marilyn Monroe.
Right.
What we were talking about, we were trying to figure it out. Yeah, just mousy and small.
Right.
And then we wanted them all to sound good together and really contrast with each other, just like the diamonds do. We keep that in mind while we're drawing them.
So do you have the voice, like, in your head when you're, even, like, with the characters when you first drew the main cast? Like, were you thinking of their voice and what they would sound like?
I was more open, especially back then.
Had you, like, casted people? And on Adventure Time, was that any part of your job? So was this your first time doing that?
I wasn't involved. I had sort of dream cast ideas on Adventure Time that I never necessarily got to see through.
Mm-hmm.
But I would sort of fantasize, like, oh, I'd love to cast this person if I could. I think.
So this was your first time.
This was my first time. And I had been down in the booth with Neil Patrick Harris. That's someone that I requested.
Oh yeah,
I got to write a song for him. Yeah,
because
he played
awesome.
Gumball. I'm not sure if other people were also thinking that, so maybe it didn't directly come from me. But I know that was something I had thought would feel right.
Right.
And that was cool to write him
cool.
A song.
I love that guy.
On this, when we were starting Steven, I was very open. I had the drawings of the characters. I had their personalities.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily have their voices in my mind. And as I was listening to auditions, I would have the drawings open. And I was just looking for who sounded like they looked. That's all I wanted to find.
Because you have to believe it when you see it. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So for the original, like, Steven, Garnet, Amethyst, and Pearl, when you were casting them, you were sort of open to whatever people were going to send in, but like for later characters, did you have more of an idea? Like when you were casting like Peridot and Lapis, or like even like Holly Blue Agate, were you like, oh, I know what this is going to sound like because you have more experience casting?
Yeah, I think so. Well, some of them I knew. Well, one thing I knew early on was that I wanted everyone had to be able to sing. That was very important for the main cast. So that was a big request. And I was really excited to look for people from the musical theater world because I felt like that would work really well for animation, just how broad
you gotta play everything really explosively.
Yeah, but also there's a lot of like there's a lot of subtlety there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really different world, but it can lend itself to animation really well.
Yeah.
So I was excited about that. And then early on when I was casting, there were people like Jennifer Lapis's voice mm-hmm. was almost Amethyst.
Oh, really?
Yes. And Shelby was almost Garnet.
What? Because Shelby's Peridot, right?
Yeah, Shelby's Peridot.
How did that happen?
Well, if you think about early Peridot and early thoughts for Garnet, you know, she was very controlled.
Right.
Very smooth. And Shelby's reads for Peridot were really interesting to me. They were very high, mm-hmm. but they were very controlled, and they had like a confidence and a sternness to them. Erica Luttrell, who plays Sapphire, also was almost Garnet.
Gotcha.
Which is why when we got around to casting Sapphire and Ruby, I was like, oh, I want to work with Erica because it's a part of who Garnet is,
mm-hmm.
And always was sort of back in the beginning. So for Jennifer, since she was almost Amethyst. When we had Lapis coming up, I was like, "Oh, this would work." I think even better with her voice, and everyone's, you know, her singing is beautiful. Everyone who read for the characters also sang, so I had a sense of what their singing voice was like.
What did they sing? Did they just sing the theme, or were they like coming in with like the musical theater?
Yeah, they sang.
Song?
They sang the theme song.
Gotcha.
Although Jennifer also sent me a ukulele cover of a Bruno Mars song
along
with the theme song, which was very beautiful.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I got to know. It's a really fun process because you get to know people.
Yeah.
And I think of everyone. Well, Zach was one of the first Steven auditions I heard.
Gotcha.
And I thought he was just perfect. I was like, he sounds just like the drawing looks. This
gotcha.
Is exactly right.
So when you think of like when you were casting, did you start with, you were like, we have to find Steven first and then figure out who works with that, like the chemistry, like.
Oh, I needed everybody and they all, I think I was doing them all at the same
time. Gotcha. So you didn't have the chance to, okay.
Yeah. But I had everyone's personalities. So it was just finding something that could reflect that.
Right. How do you, so like when you come up with a character, how do you communicate? Is there like a voice in your head? Voice in your head, but like, you know what I mean. Like, is there like a? Can you hear them in your head? That sounds different from what I mean. But do you have an idea of what they sound like, and how do you communicate that? Like, how do you write how a voice sounds like in your head? Other than,
I mean, I came from comics, so when I was doing comics, I think it was a similar feeling where it's like I know how this person feels. I know what the drawings of them look like. It would sort of be a different challenge to suddenly have to figure out how they sound.
Right,
I think, you know, I needed someone, like I remember when we were looking for Pearl's voice, I was like, I need someone who can sort of crack very easily, like with a lot of neuroses in their voice. I had thought that she would be very challenging to cast, and then we found Dee Dee, and I was like, oh, it's done.
Definitely
Dee Dee.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I had feelings about how the drawings looked and how they would act.
Mm-hmm.
Just not how their voice would specifically sound. But
if we could
find the voice that looked like the drawings look, that could act the way these characters act, then that will be them.
You have to hear it.
Yeah. So I stayed very open, and I think once we had our main cast, that completely defined who those characters became, especially getting to know everyone better.
Right.
In the pilot, I would say that Pearl is not particularly maternal, but Dee Dee really is.
Right.
And that's
she's pulling hard in the,
that
direction.
Definitely became something that was really apparent in the show, I think, because of Dee Dee.
Mm-hmm.
And Amethyst and Michaela. Michaela has informed Amethyst so much.
Gotcha.
And Estelle and Garnet. I mean, Estelle has completely informed Garnet. And then Zach and Steven is perfect. And I think a lot of Steven's maturity that you see happen very quickly early on,
right?
Sort of in the early episodes, he's not super mature, but then he has like this, he's really smart and he has this emotional intelligence, and he really is incredibly sharp. And a lot of that is Zach. That's just what Zach is like.
Right. Yeah. It's cool getting to know the voice actors and getting to see that, because like, I totally, you know, just knowing them, I totally get where you're coming from now. And like, especially with Dee Dee, is like, it's like, oh, well, there she is. There's Pearl, you know, like that's who she is. It's wild. It's really wild. I love, so you talked about how they sort of like, they sort of inform the characters and change the way that the characters act. Like, I remember we were talking with Dee Dee just a little bit ago, and she brought up the Boodles thing, or like, was it Michaela's mom or something that said,
right, Boodles of Fun.
Yeah, Boodles of Fun.
Yeah, and we wrote that into an episode.
Yes, I remember seeing that after seeing something about that on, I don't even remember, but I remember seeing it. And it's in Sworn to the Sword.
Yeah.
At the end, and they're like, it's going to be Boodles of Fun. And I was like, there it is. I love that. Was there any other like specific stuff like that that was like referenced? Because you talked about, you know, how they've changed the characterization.
Oh.
But were there any other specific like references like that?
Yeah, Zach was studying Italian.
Oh, yeah.
So in Stephen and the Stevens, we had him speak a little Italian.
Oh, yeah. I remember him in the one episode with Jamie, the acting one, where he's like,
That's a very terrible accent. But he really can speak some Italian.
That's awesome.
So
you bring it into the character.
So we brought that in. Yeah, and Grace can speak some Japanese. So we also brought that into something that Connie says at one point.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's always been fun just to learn about what everyone's interested in and try and weave it into the story.
I think that's really cool. Yeah, I love that. I think that it's really cool how the characters are developed and the voice actors are developed all together. And you can sort of see, we talked about that a lot too, where like Pearl's, you know, sort of started out as like a much more constrained character. And now she's like zany as all get out, you know, like she's crazy, you know. I love that so much. So what do you think that you've learned overall about directing and casting since you started, like since the beginning?
Oh, that I've learned?
Yeah, just like takeaways, kind of.
I mean, I suppose I've learned to always stay open.
Mm-hmm.
Because early on, I sort of had to be open because I didn't know what to expect.
Right.
But now I try to keep myself open to be surprised by how a character could sound, even if it's not exactly what I had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And also to just learn from whoever is jumping into a new role and let them be themselves within that role. Even if it's a very exaggerated character,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure that whoever's playing that part is having fun with it in a way that's really unique to them.
Yeah.
So I look for that when I cast.
That's awesome. Okay, cool. Thank you so much for talking with me today.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Rebecca Sugar for giving us such an awesome look at the creation and development of the Steven Universe characters. We'll have her back in another episode to focus on the music of the show, and I can't wait for that. But right now, I've got Shelby Rabara, who voices Peridot, and Jennifer Paz, who voices Lapis, coming up, and we'll get to them right after this.
What's up, Doc?
What's up is that Boomerang is the best place for kids and parents to watch their favorite cartoons.
Zoinks!
And Boomerang is the only place for Scooby-Doo.
Anybody have a Scooby snack?
Looney Tunes.
Duck season. Wabbit season.
And so much more.
A bumper!
Well, that don't beat all.
Just go to Boomerang.com or download the app to start your free trial now.
All right, guys, I am here with Shelby and Jen, who voice Peridot and Lapis. How are you guys doing today? Thank you so much for coming.
Of course. Thanks for having
us. I'm good. Thanks for having
us. Yeah, so let's just jump right into it, guys. So my first question is, what kind of background did you guys have before you started coming onto Steven Universe? Like, what world were you from before then?
My background was in musical theater. So
I
spent many years doing musical theater and singing and dancing on stage for, I don't know, a long time.
Awesome. Yeah, that's awesome.
But I've done some TV and film, and I've done some voiceover work. I used to do like a lot of ADR work.
That's like when you...
Audio dialogue reel. Is that what it stands for?
ADR? I think it's replacement, maybe?
Yeah. I did like a bunch of like Jackie Chan, Michelle Yao, like martial arts film.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, back in the 90s.
About you all the time.
So you did like the
Jet
punching
Li,
sounds?
Yeah, I did like the hi, yeah.
You're really good at that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So that was my background. that prepared me for
right for
voiceover
the part, yeah.
stuff.
Sweet. that's awesome. Look at that. I was a professional dancer for a really, really long time in, you know, television, movies. Yeah. And also I was also an actor. I still am an actor currently auditioning and working for on-screen projects. So this is actually my first voiceover job that I've ever booked.
That's
so
awesome.
So I'm a newbie to, you know, the voiceover world, and I've actually really, really enjoyed and I'm learning so much, and what a great show to be on and an amazing character to play for my
right?
first time. Yeah, my first gig.
What was it like finding out that you got the part if it was your first?
Oh my, well, I was cooking lunch and my friend from New York was over and I was just like making us lunch at home, and all of a sudden I got a call and they're like, yeah, they'd like to offer you the role of Peridot. And I think I just was like, hold on one second. And I put the phone on mute and I grabbed my friend and I was like, I just booked my first voiceover audition. And she grabbed me, and her name's Kelly LaFarga. Shout out to Kelly LaFarga. Hey, hey, hey. she just grabbed me. We just started jumping up and down. And like, I think I was just like, oh my God, I just started freaking out. And then I got back on the phone with my agent. I'm like, are you sure? And they're like, yeah, they want you to come in next week. I'm like, no way.
What if they were just like, no, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
like,
could you imagine? No, actually they changed their mind. So yeah, I was ecstatic.
That's awesome. What about you, Jen?
Well, actually I found out when I was living in Chicago and I was, I had my son, and they called me and said, you got the part of Lapis, because originally I had voiced Amethyst.
Right.
For the pilot.
Oh.
And then things happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Rebecca called and said, well, we have this other part for you. And so it was just kind of all a blur. Like I was just like still like, you know, in mommy mode, like, feeding my child, and I got this call. I was like, oh, okay, so yeah,
right, yeah. That's awesome.
Cool.
So you were originally had auditioned for Amethyst, right?
And then
you originally Shelby, you auditioned for Garnet, right?
I auditioned for everyone.
Everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And, yeah, Garnet,
they
Amethyst,
had us, like,
and
three,
Pearl.
Like, yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. That's wild.
Yeah.
So like, what was it like? I don't know. What was it like finding the part specifically that you guys ended up in? Like, how was it? Was it weird to put on all these different hats and then end up in the specific role you found?
I don't know. For me, like, I remember when I first voiced, tried to do Amethyst, like, I tried to put on that gruff and, like, it hurt my voice.
You were like,
and then when
I'm
I did Lapis, I was like, oh, okay, this feels like more my wheelhouse. And it just felt, yeah, I just felt like, it was more me. So it was just me reading these lines and just kind of seeing the description and going, okay, yeah, she's angsty. She's, you know, she's kind of confused. And so it just felt better.
Right. Yeah. Like natural voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I
felt a lot more organic.
Gotcha. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. When I auditioned for Stevani as well. And I'm super visual in the booth. So I really enjoy seeing the, you know, the drawings of the characters, because I think that's my dance background. I'm also my acting background. Mm. I just kind of look at them. I kind of try to be a chameleon and morph based on, like, what they're wearing, what their face looks like, you know, what physical description they have. And when I got Peridot's audition, she was very cold. Like, her look was very stern. And, you know, she didn't have the little M mouth that
yeah,
she has now. so I, you know, she was basically just kind of like a really tough drill sergeant is what I looked at the picture.
That's,
and I interpreted.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah. I looked
now.
At she was this like drill sergeant. So she was very cold and almost just, you know, she's a soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I auditioned with Peridot. And so it was really neat to see her change into this wonderful angry slice of pie.
Yeah. That's really awesome. I go back and watch the first episode she was in and see her like warp in, and she's like, log date, you know, and it's just like, she's so
militant.
She's
cold.
She's about
and
to kill someone.
Yeah,
like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, dang, like,
yeah.
Who is this?
Yeah.
Like,
that's
yeah.
What's so interesting
wild.
About these characters is that when you first meet them, you just kind of don't know, are they like a baddie or are they like, are they going to be a good gem or a bad gem?
Right.
It's really cool to see them evolve.
And both of your characters sort of went through that arc, because,
yes.
I mean, Lapis did the whole thing with the ocean and everything. And, you know, Peridot obviously had this whole redemption arc. So, like, what was it like going from the baddie to the good guy?
Gosh, with her, I mean, I remember the very first session I had. Like, hers was this, like, really intense. I remember my hands were just shaking because Rebecca just really wanted me to go there. She was like, just imagine all that anger bent up and just released. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so deep. Like, yeah. Really, like, so I'm really happy that she's evolved so much and she's found her way. And what I find really funny about Lapis is that she controls water, but like, her humor is so dry.
Yeah.
You know? Which I don't know if I just kind of found that myself or if that's how she was written, but yeah, no, I remember just like feeling really intense, and then like it's fun to now just kind of relax, and she's found her way, and she's, you know, you see her, she's earned, or she's had everyone earn sort of her trust, and I love mm-hmm. that she's evolved that way. So yeah, she's been really fun to find.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. What about you with Shelby with Peridot?
Oh man, I just rewatched Message Received actually a few days ago.
The iconic,
just for fun. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, I kind of want to watch this episode again. And when Peridot goes from holding that communicator, that diamond communicator, and you know she's hiding it from Steven, I think, and I just this actually just came to me as I was watching the episode. I think it was Steven's touch that actually helped her change, because there was a moment where I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know if Peridot's going to, you know, call them out
right.
before Yellow Diamond comes up on the communicator. I'm like, oh, she's going to do it. She's going to do it. And I think there was a part, even just watching that whole monologue, you know, with Yellow Diamond and Peridot, where she's like, you know, my diamond, you know, but the ship is destroyed.
Yeah.
I think that hug before that whole scene starts with Steven kind of like shaking her, and they're kind of, it was kind of like a bear hug, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that actually changed Peridot, and I didn't even realize that until just watching it. I'm like, I think that's what changed her. I think it was that human touch and the hug mm-hmm. from Steven that actually started that change, and the reason why she didn't turn them over to Yellow Diamond. And I'm like, hold on, I'm having this whole thing happening to me
right.
while I'm watching this 12-minute, 11-minute episode. And I'm like, I have never noticed that before.
It's like, yeah, like seeing all the parts come together when you, because being in the booth is a totally different thing from, I totally get what you mean. Like, it seems like the directors all sort of have their vision, you know, and then they sort of get the voice from you and like, you sort of have an idea of what it's going to be, but you don't until you see the final
exactly.
thing, and then you get
yeah.
it.
And there's all these little tiny surprises and gifts that I'm like, mm-hmm. I never realized
right,
that before.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, they're genius. Steven Peridot's genius.
What kind of stuff do you got? What do they have you do to get? You talked about like the shaking hands. Like, what kind of stuff do they have you do to get that out of you in the booth, or what's part of your process in the booth?
Well, kind of echoing what Shelby said earlier, like, I like to be physical about mm-hmm. it. So, like, with that scene when she first came in and you were introduced to her, like, I remember just, like, really being so tense with the hand going up and slapping down. Things like that. Like, you want to get involved and just kind of move around and really feel like being trapped and, you know.
Right,
you
yeah.
just have to just do it. You're acting physically because you can't just create that world if you're just sitting
yeah definitely we're really physical in the booth, and you know, or like when we're really quiet, like our physicality really really changes. We you know, one thing that I had to really work on when I first got on the show was I didn't realize that I had to back up off the mic in a lot of the Peridot outbursts, because I was so into it and I would
right,
just be like
right.
giving it, you know? And,
yeah.
and then our engineer would be like, Shelby, can you back off the mic? And I was like, I'm sorry, sorry, sorry about that. So it took, you know, it's just like anything. It becomes muscle memory. You realize, you know, the mic is like an ear. You don't want to be shouting in the mic. Newbie over here.
Or like the timing of it. Like you have to like do a pause. Like if you're going to do a run of like
yeah.
you know, a page or two.
You
like,
don't want to step on the other person's line, because when they edit it, you know.
Right, when they put it together.
You
yeah.
want a clean take of each person's line.
So mm-hmm. even though you have like a genuine organic reaction, you kind of have to pause before you react.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
like a very technical art. And
yeah.
I'm like, that's something I would always be like, okay, no, we have to take that again.
Yeah,
could you not
bad.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Okay, let me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually do like a full warm-up at home. I know this is great. I do a full like body warm-up to get before I get in the booth. Like,
oh, you're like yoga and ever like
yeah.
you're going in.
You're
and
such
even
a
when
professional.
I'm, I mean, I got a crick in my neck today. I should have warmed up before, you know, I came here. But, you know, because it is very physical, and it's also really important, I think, to feel your feet on the floor, because, you know, when you're in these, when you're portraying these characters through your voice, there has to be something that grounds you as far as, like, the realism. Even though this is a show and we, you know, we are gems. I still think that there's a really grounded, naturalism. Is that a word? I don't know. Can somebody leave me a comment and tell me if that's a word or not? I think there's some, there's that in Steven Universe. And I think when we're doing these runs and in these scenes, I think that's what makes this show so great, is because the acting comes from a grounded point of view. And so physically for me, I have to really feel my feet on the floor and be like, okay, Peridot will come alive now.
Boots on the ground.
Yeah, yes, boots on the ground.
We're ready. We're here. I love that. So when you guys sort of came onto the show, did you sort of have to, I mean, it's one thing to be on the show from the beginning and sort of find your way making the show from scratch, but like you sort of had to find your place within a cast that had already been established. Was that at all difficult for you guys?
I kind of feel like for me, yeah. I mean, I kind of parallel Lapis in that way, because I would just come in just periodically. Like I've only been in like how many episodes. So yeah. So I feel like, yeah, she's just like, she's kind of just now part of the gems. Mm-hmm. I feel like that too. Like I come in, I'm like, okay, what's happened? You know, I don't
what's going on?
When you like became like mini size Peridot, I was like, wait, what happened to your suit? Like,
there was like gravity connectors.
Months that went by and I'm like, what? She's tiny. I love it. What happened? Tell me what I miss.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as coming into an established cast already, they all are so welcoming to me. One of the first episodes that I did was actually by myself. So it was just me and Rebecca and the writers, and I think it was Ian. And I was nervous. I was sweating. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And, you know, the thing
is, I'm so happy that you said that, because you come in there and I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's so funny.
No,
like,
really?
She's so,
no.
Like,
I think just whenever it comes to work, I always have like butterflies in my stomach, because I'm excited. I'm also nervous, because I want to do, you know, I want to do a great job, not only for others, but for myself. Like, I'm definitely the hardest on myself. You know, and it's hard behind the booth not to nitpick every single breath or every single syllable. Sometimes I learned very quickly in my first time in the booth, you got to let it go.
Right.
Do you find yourself like in the car after the session, like saying the lines again, you're like, oh, I could have done it like this.
Yeah, or it's just like an audition, but like I mess up.
I know.
Like, now I can say it perfectly now.
I know.
What happened to me when I was in the room? Perfect.
I feel that.
Or like, I do that all the time.
Or like the directors are going to be like, okay, like that was good. And you're like, no, was it? No.
Yeah. And there's,
I'm not. No.
Yeah. There's definitely in my first, you know, session, there was definitely a trust when, you know, Rebecca was like, that's great, moving on. I was like, really? You know, you have to,
right.
Because they have a vision.
Exactly. And you have to find the way that they see it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I totally get what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Yeah, of course.
Today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Okay, that wraps up this week's episode. It was so cool to meet the voice actors behind the gems and to get such a great behind-the-scenes look at their creation and development from Rebecca. Coming up next Thursday, we're going to be talking to the Steven Universe designers. These are members of the Crooniverse responsible for the look, style, and color of the show. So we're going to be talking to art director Liz Artinian and lead background designer Steven Sugar. We're also going to talk to background designers Jane Bach and Mary Nash and colorist Efren Farias. We're also going to have Danny Hines and Aleth Romanios, who did the early design work for the episodes. It's going to be so cool to find out what inspired the look of Homeworld and all the colors on the show. And remember, if you have any questions for the Crooniverse or show creator Rebecca Sugar, please tweet them to me at MKAtwood or to Cartoon Network's official Twitter and use the hashtag StevenUniversePodcast. We're going to try to answer as many as possible. And we're trying to get Rebecca to come back on a later episode to answer some of your questions herself. And if you haven't hit the subscribe button for the Steven Universe podcast, you can do that at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Please make sure to leave us a review and a 5-star rating while you're there. We love getting all the feedback. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I will see you next Thursday.